The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Coach O is facing the single biggest challenge to preparing a football team. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. And I believe Ida has moved on. It's heavy rain and wind and a bunch of pine straw and debris flying around, but it's mostly just rain and wind and pine straw flying around. I think it's mostly in Mississippi now, which doesn't make it better than being in Louisiana, but it's a whole lot less of a storm right now. Good riddance to you. I believe on the anniversary marking, was it 16 years ago? Katrina moving in, just devastation over the weekend, and power out, New Orleans just blasted, just a very, very difficult time over there. So that's the real. That's life. That's on the side of the fridge. Remember sports rules, life rules? All right, this is the life part of it. And that's why I try to choose my words carefully. I'm not always successful about it. Sometimes I just don't think. But I purposely wanted to start this. I didn't say Ed Orgeron. I say Coach O. Because the real, the life part of this is everything we just talked about. And that was the same. I mentioned Katrina. I'm doing this by memory, and so I hope I get this right because, I mean, certainly want to be respectful about it. But as I'm recalling 2005 when Katrina happened, and my goodness, that was enough. People a little further over, like Mobile Way, Florida Way, they remember the year before. Was it Ivan, I think, in 2004, the previous year? And there were two, actually. And so it was just, I mean, a string of just awful, awful hurricanes coming to the Gulf Coast. But when Katrina hit, I mean, it's a week or two before football season. And LSU, they're in Baton Rouge, and LSU, they had a game scheduled at home against Arizona State. And when I say that Coach O is faced the coach, not Ed Orgeron, but the coach, when I say he's facing the single biggest challenge to preparing a football team, this was the same case in 2005 with Les Miles. The single biggest challenge, and I'm not talking about the real or life or off-field or whatever, but as far as what we talk about for the most part on this show, the biggest challenge to a coach trying to prepare a team to play, especially week one, LSU won't be doing the same thing the same way hundreds of times each day leading up to kickoff. Say what you will about Les Miles, and boy, does that mean something different than maybe it would have a year ago. But say what you want about Les Miles. He and that staff responded in 2005. Home game against Arizona State, and they moved that thing, what, four states west? And they're not practicing. In fact, as I'm trying to remember, part of the reason that was moved was obviously just the devastation in the area that would take, I mean, years to recover from completely, and then you don't because in the interim another hurricane says, oh, yeah, I'm coming too. But as I recall, and this happened all throughout the region, like Pete Maravich, that was basically triage, wasn't it? And there were players that had their families come to the dorms. And so at that point, you ain't having a football game there. And they're like, yo, Arizona State, could we play there? Like, sure, bring it on. Now, I just said say what you will about Les Miles. Say what you will about Jamarcus Russell. Do y'all remember what happened that night? He and Early Doucette hooked. I think it was Early. He and Early Doucette, late score, touchdown pass, about 40 yards. It was a heck of a game. Heck of a game. It was a night game. They were still wearing the whites, so it looked kind of like it was home anyway. Say what you will about Les Miles. He and that staff, in his first game as coach, overcame the biggest challenge you can. Because the essence of preparing a team to play is you do the same thing, the same way, on the same field, with the same coaches, in the same environment so many times that come Saturday, you don't think about it. Something happens in front of you, and your eyes just process it. All of a sudden, your legs are running to the flat. What am I doing here? Oh, I saw it so many times that I just respond. Now, Les Miles' second game, all right, that wasn't quite as good because they had to move that. They actually pushed that back. I remember that was a Monday night game at home against Tennessee. Really bad moments. He had to call a timeout coming out of a commercial break following a change of possession on a punt, I think it was. And then they lost in overtime to, again, no disrespect, this guy played college football in the SEC and started a quarterback. You lost at home to Rick Clawson. That's not supposed to happen. No, again, Rick Clawson started in the SEC. In fact, he was a former LSU player, wasn't he?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
He was in your program.
I always liked him. He was an edge, you know? But like I said, he wasn't a great quarterback. And you're not supposed to lose at home to him. But then, they were just off and flying after that. Until Jamarcus got knocked out of the SEC title game. There was still at least a chance that they were going to be in the mix for something. That was their response. Oh, and by the way, Katrina wasn't a one-week thing. Woo! Move the game against the Sun Devils. Now we're in the clear. You know who LSU recruits. A bunch of kids who had to go out there and play. All right, they beat Arizona State. All right, now we only have 11 more games to play. Hey, where's your family living? Not sure right now. What about yours? The Astrodome? Huh. They got more room in the Astrodome? I mean, literally, that's... Oh, yeah, and by the way, you've got Alabama on Saturday. Get ready. Impossible! And those kids and those coaches and everybody came through. If you haven't seen what's going on right now with the LSU team... They left on buses late Saturday night, spent 10 hours in traffic before getting to Houston for a late breakfast Sunday. 10 hours. Dan, how long normally Baton Rouge to H-Town?
4 hours or so.
4 hours or so. 10 hours. Late Saturday night, they're getting there. Hey, are they still serving breakfast at Hardee's? Whoo, let's get to the drive-thru. 10 hours sitting on a bus. This is a factor for this weekend's game at the Rose Bowl. Practicing in a different environment, without your bed, without your equipment, without a facility that is yours, then taking what turns out to be the second leg of the road trip to head to California to then actually play, this is a way, way, way bigger deal for the LSU football team than we're going to acknowledge. At least before the game. Now, if this goes as planned, and I don't even know what the number is. Dan, I remember something about 6.5. Am I dreaming that up? Have you even looked?
Last I saw, it was 4.5 last night, and then I heard this morning, 3.5.
All right. I'll take Dan's word, 3, because I haven't even really looked at the lines yet. 3.5. If LSU is a 3.5-point pick, and it goes according to plan, they win 28-24. Or actually, you know what? I say all things being equal and UCLA having already played, that's an advantage, folks, in that there weren't like 7 injuries in week one and that it wasn't like what – now, this is not a criticism. It's an evaluation at this point. What Ken Niumatalolo did with Navy last year, yeah, we just didn't have any contact. We didn't have any contact in camp. Oh, that didn't work. No, UCLA looked good. So that's already an advantage. But I say if it goes according to, you know, as advertised, and LSU wins by four. If it goes as advertised by Chuck's plan, because I think LSU is probably, they're about a 10-point winner on Saturday. I really like LSU. Now, going on the road, like Tennessee went out there about 15 years ago to start the season. And it was, I mean, it was rock'em sock'em robots. It was standing at the middle of a just sledgehammers at each other. Not a great game. Really competitive, tight game. And so that's a factor as well. I'm not saying that this is, you know, a layup. This is spring break. But I'm saying LSU is a really talented squad. And if they win by 10, for instance, say they just do, they barely cover 28-24 or 35-31, whatever, pick your score. This won't be considered any deal. I'm saying in advance of kickoff Saturday, I want everybody to, we all need to acknowledge what LSU was and those coaches and those kids are facing. So if it goes according to your plan or my plan or Vegas's plan or whomever and LSU rolls, they get the dub, this will never be brought up again. If LSU loses, here's the kick in the pants for Coach O. It probably still won't be brought up. I don't know, Dan, you grew up in an LSU house. Lose to UCLA. LSU fans want to hear some context? I don't think they do.
No, I think they just say we're 0-1, and how dare you, because look what we're going through here.
Yeah, and it's not even Alabama. It's not even A&M. It's not even a conference game. So that's the real tough part, is no matter how the game goes, I don't think this will ever be considered much of a factor. And that is too tough because, again, this is a big, big deal. And I think it's something that the team is going to deserve more credit following the game after they win. I think they're going to deserve more credit than we give them for a factor that is this impactful on such a huge opener.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Fourth down and 10. Martinez directing traffic. He'll float it up there. Oliver Martin, that ball is broken up, and that will do it. Illinois is going to beat Nebraska in Brett Bielema's debut.
Illini 30, Huskers 22. That was Saturday afternoon in the first college football action of the 2021 season. Nebraska is very not good. And here is the further indictment of this little cyclical discussion. I know that part of how I know they're not good is they lost to Illinois. Illinois is not good. Illinois is not good and lost its starting quarterback in the first quarter. So Illinois was able to get the win in their head coach's first game. Well, hey, you know, we're changing all the systems. Don't we say that when a team loses the first game? This is what I say. We need to, like, the factor is still the factor. If Illinois started, like, 1-5, you know what every fan defending Bielema would be talking about. That's Joe Davis on Fox, by the way. That was the last gasp there by Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback. It would be, hey, you know, and Bielema would be talking on the coach's show, every fan defending the program. Hey, it's a coaching, you know, it's brand new staff, turnover of the systems, the X's and O's. Got to give them a minute. Well, no, they won Saturday with their backup quarterback, and they're not good. How do I know Illinois is not good? This is the next step of that cyclical conversation. I know Illinois is not good because Nebraska had a last gasp play. Nebraska was still in the game. Maybe the best example that we'll see all season. Very first game of the year. And maybe there will not be a better example the entire year. You know what I always say about quarterback numbers? We know about the quarterback position, the most important, impactful game outcome deciding position in all of sports. We said that. But as far as the statistics, we have established, this is in the sports rules part of the list, there is no position in sports where you get less of a complete picture by just looking at numbers than quarterback in football. If you look at left wing in hockey, or I don't know, is there a center forward in soccer, whatever. Any sport, the guy with the brush in curling, you look at any competitor, any athlete's numbers, you will not find any less complete full picture than by looking at just the quarter. If you didn't see the game and you just look at the numbers, no position will you'll have less of a clue how the guy played than looking at quarterback. If you watch the game on Saturday, Adrian Martinez, not good. Adrian Martinez for a fantasy owner, it's tremendous. 16 to 32. Now, that's not 2021. 2021, your quarterback's completing at least 65% of his passes, if not more. But Adrian Martinez, different guy, and it was a real slow start. Completed his half his passes, 232 yards passing, one touchdown, no picks. Check, he was good. No, he wasn't. Ran the ball 17 times for 111 yards and a touchdown. Check, he was good. No, he wasn't. That team, very not good. Illinois, at least they were at home and had sense enough to say, well, let's just run the ball a lot, which is what Bielema wanted anyway. But after an offseason, they're going, ah, we're modern and move forward and we're with the times now. He looked at, oh, my quarterback's hurt. Hey, run the ball a lot. And they just decided to body up on Nebraska and win the game 4 yards at a time. Horrible game. Horrible game. Packed stands, people sweating their tails off. It's like 95 degrees. But we got games in the books, and UCLA winning and San Jose and a lot more to talk about. What up, Dan?
Not much. You know, I think that there is a person, or at least persons, today who are looking for a new job. I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but this kind of really hit the Twitter sphere late last night, where IMG played against a, if you want to call them, a high school out of Ohio, Bishop Sycamore, yeah, in a game where it got to the point where our good buddy Tom Lugenbowl, who was doing the game with Anish Shroff there in Canton, Ohio, said, this is embarrassing. Like, this is unbelievable. And apparently this is an online-only school. It's in its second year of existence, and somehow they catfished the persons who I said are now in trouble. Paragon Marketing. Chuck, we have a good friend of ours, Rusty Mansell, who helps run the Corky Kell Classic every year. Don't you think that they ask Rusty, hey, you know, we're thinking of having these schools. All right, start with this handful of schools and then try these schools right here. Don't you think that somebody would maybe ask a few questions? Oh, I don't know. Maybe go out and watch a game or two and say, hey, is it worth us putting these guys against IMG? Because are we necessarily going to take the coach's word? Oh, yeah, we have a bunch of D1 prospects who, by the way, supposedly played on Friday. I don't know who this coach is or who's making the decisions there, but whoever it is, they need to be far away from decision-making. And Paragon, you're out. Start relying on the people who actually cover high school football.
Yeah, apparently there's two high schools with this name, and they kind of got a little misinformation, a little distraction, and it turned out to be a horrible game for TV.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Oh, and I got to update some. Say 9 states and 53 sticks. We got a 54th, actually. It's actually beginning maybe next week. Is Cookeville, Tennessee coming on, so 54. So, yay for us. About to turn 7. Put another candle on the cake in a couple of weeks as well. So, and college football season is starting, so that's not so bad. Speaking of college football season starting this Saturday night in Columbia, South Carolina, Gamecocks are going to host Eastern Illinois. I'm going to be honest. I can't tell you much about Eastern Illinois. Other than the one person I asked about that program said they should be one of the worst teams that plays college football this season. That it's not a great program, and this particular edition of the Panthers, not going to be good at all. Having said that, folks, I can't explain to you properly how desperate South Carolina is to get off to at least a 2-0 start. The path to 6, that is really what the story is for the Gamecocks, in my opinion. It's the path to 6, and there can be no hiccup, no misstep, no Citadel game at home. There cannot be any of that. Again, it has to start off 2-0, and I believe it really should. I want to welcome on now a good friend of mine and the program, Afternoon Drive at 107.5 The Game there in Columbia. Flagship for the Gamecocks, it is Heath Klein. Heath, how are you, man?
Hey, Chuck. How you doing, man?
Doing okay. Let's talk Panthers. They are the Panthers, correct? And I'm not trying to be funny. It's Eastern Illinois Panthers?
I believe that is, in fact, correct, yes.
Okay. And also, I was not being funny. I asked one person who should know about this, and he's like, it's an okay program. They're going to be terrible this year. One of the worst teams in football. That's as deep down as I have drilled. Do you have a better preview of the opponent?
Not particularly, other than, yeah, they're bad. I mean, they were bad in the spring when they played the FCS, and they lost their first game. I have no idea why they were playing the one FCS game this past week. There was two FCS teams, but they opened by losing to Indiana State 26-21. So, yeah, safe to say that if you're looking at your score ticker and you're finding any reason to pay attention to South Carolina, Eastern Illinois in the second half of the game, things have gone very, very wrong.
All right, well, enough about the opponent. Let's make this about South Carolina. Who's taking the first snap, and who might take additional snaps?
Well, we don't have an official answer on the first part. They would love for it to be Luke Doty. If Doty had just stayed healthy, then he would be the guy. There's no question that's where they intended to go. What we don't know is what they saw, particularly Saturday, was not an official scrimmage, but scrimmage-like conditions. And then supposedly Shane Beamer and the coaches were going to make their decision off of that. Beamer's press conference is slated for Tuesday, so we don't know if he's going to wait until then to make an announcement. But certainly you would expect the team would know by now what they're going to do. You're not going to go into a game week, even this game week, without making it clear what you're doing in the locker room. My guess is, though, either later today or tomorrow at his press conference is when Beamer lets it be known. Your possibilities are Jason Brown, the quarterback who transferred in from St. Francis, showed a good arm on tape before he came to South Carolina, showed good touch in the spring game, but the coaches haven't always loved his conditioning. It's been better in the fall, but it seems like for whatever reason, they're just little things that they're not loving with him. The other possibility most likely would be Zeb Noland. Noland is the former quarterback at North Dakota State as recently as this spring, had come to South Carolina to be a grad assistant, was not expecting to play, but they put him out on the field when Doty got hurt. And he, look, I mean, it makes sense. He's got more game experience on the FBS level because he started at Iowa State and actually played against Oklahoma. He's got more experience than anybody. He just wasn't expected to be a contender for the job this year because that wasn't what he came for. My guess would be it's more likely that it's Brown than it's Nolan, but it won't surprise anybody if it's Nolan because they have a lot of trust in him and he knows the offense.
Okay, there's always context, and I swear this is not just an opportunity. Like, I'm going to throw Heath a softball so he can, you know, pound on Coach Beamer or the offensive staff or whoever. How did the team not exit spring with a number two?
Well, they didn't really have anybody that stepped up to definitively even be one. I mean, Doty was put with the title that he was the likeliest one, but it wasn't like they said, he is our guy for sure coming out of spring, even as the starter. Brown, basically the spring game was the first time it seemed like they had really seen him do the kind of things they wanted him to do to get excited about. I mean, there is stuff there. He has things to offer, but he had not had a very good spring. And Colton Gauthier is a kid who is a true freshman. He's got ability. He may be a contender one day, but you know as well as I do, Chuck, even five-star freshmen don't typically start in the SEC right away as true freshmen. That's not the path they wanted to go down. It was supposed to be Luke Doty this year, almost for certain, and then based on what he did over summer and into spring, it was going to be Luke Doty this year. It's just a matter of now this midfoot injury, how long does it take for them to get him back? And the one thing we don't know about Shane Beamer, Will Muschamp, a dude could have his head amputated and Muschamp would still be insisting on Wednesday that there's at least a chance he might be available on Saturday.
Dude.
So we don't know if Shane Beamer's going to be one of those dudes who everybody's looking good and he's just going to feed us a line on Tuesday and then we'll all find out on Thursday. Yeah, the guy was in traction all week. We don't know what his deal is. So Shane Beamer has alluded to the idea he might be available, but we don't know enough about how Shane's going to handle this to really know what that means.
Didn't Debo get hurt like in September? What, week two or three?
One of those years, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think for the bowl game, Debo was – I'm not kidding. For the two deep, for the bowl game, Debo was still listed as a starter.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I don't know if they're going to change that or not. You're right. That was Muschamp's policy. They didn't change the depth chart all year, no matter what happened. They just never provided a second depth chart. So I would hope Shane Beamer will allow them to update reality as the year goes on. But yeah, technically speaking, if it was under Muschamp's policies, then even if Luke Doty recovered and was back in week two, the other guy would be listed as the starter the entire year if that's how it played out this week.
Okay, you know, to be cute radio host wordplay, if Kevin Harris leads the team in rushing, is that a good thing or a bad thing? What I'm asking is Marshawn Lloyd good enough? Like, if Kevin Harris is healthy and plays, is Marshawn Lloyd good enough to take that to lead the team in rushing yards?
They think that he could be really good. Now, you know, how the distribution of carries is going to be interesting. And, of course, the big question for this team, Chuck, is can you stay close enough in games that you can continue to run the ball? Because if you get down 21 zip, typically you're going to say, okay, we got to put it in the air. You know, can this team play in such a way that they can be what they want to be, which is a much more run-heavy team this year than one that has to throw it around? So that could be the other question. But what I think most of us expect, at least right now, would be that maybe you will see more carries with Harris, but that Lloyd might be the one who's more likely to break the big carry that statistically has the better average is what we kind of think we're looking at. But again, we haven't seen Lloyd in the game, so there is that caveat. But they sure seem to think he's ready and that he could be a really good player for him once he's out there.
If you're at the window and you're going to place a bet, do you take Nick Mews to lead the team in receiving or the field?
Boy,
because you're not supposed to say in 2021 that a tight end leads your team in receiving.
Yeah, it's worth noting 30 catches for him last year. I'd be surprised if 30 catches led the team this year. But the one thing is, we don't know if they have a true one receiver. I go ahead and say no because Mews has also gotten injured. So I'd take the field because I wouldn't count on 12 healthy games out of Mews. But if you got 12 healthy, then probably he's as good a contender as anybody. I will say, though, among the receivers, Jalen Brooks, they really seem to think he's taken a step forward from where, you know, last year they hyped him up a lot. He didn't get in to even play till week four, and he's a transfer from Wingate originally. It's a strange story how he even got there. he had too much pressure put on him last year and he didn't perform. But supposedly in preseason, he has looked really good. And maybe with a normal camp and a normal prep time, maybe he can be that impact guy they thought he could be last year. So among the receivers right now, that's where I put my chips is on Brooks.
All right. We're going to talk defensive line, and we're going to wrap up with that because I want to end with something positive. But let's talk offensive line quickly first because they're legitimately okay. They really are, and that's a compliment. I swear, I'm not trying to overhype it, but they're legitimately good enough to play a season with, I believe.
Yeah, they have – the one thing that will be interesting to see about the line is that Eric Wolford, who's now at Kentucky, put a lot of emphasis on dual training, that whole concept of get your five best guys out there. It does not sound like Greg Atkins is as obsessed with doing that, that he would rather necessarily have somebody who's focused on being the best tackle he could be or the best guard he could be rather than trying to learn all things all the time. Versatility is nice, but proficiency is probably better. And so we'll see philosophically if that approach turns out to be how it works and whether or not that makes them better. But they've got an experienced center. They've got experienced tackles. They've got good athletes that played some at the guard spots. Yeah, this should be at least – an average to above average SEC line. It won't be one of the three or four best in the conference, but it shouldn't be a problem. And there have been times the last few years where it was actually a problem.
All right. Let's drill down because we always talk about the questions and uncertainties and all that. And so whenever you're on, we skip the D line. Drill down some. Talk about some of the individuals because, again, I'm not going to oversell this group, but the defensive line, it's better than what I was saying, you know, the O line is. This is a group that I think you can win an SEC game because of on a Saturday.
Yeah, well, you're going to have to because behind them is such a question mark. You're going to have to win with your D-line. They've got experience. The fact that there's a kid on this defensive line in Jordan Birch who is a five-star who will likely not start. He will be an impact guy, but they have players ahead of him like Kingsley Nabari, who's going to potentially be a first-round pick according to mock draft types. You got a guy like him that's out there that's got experience. You got a guy like Aaron Sterling who didn't stay healthy enough last year to contribute, but they really have liked what they've seen from him in the preseason. You got him, and you got a guy like Jordan Strawn who came over from Georgia State, the transfer who actually led the NCAA in sacks last year. Both of those guys, it is likely, will not be starters. They will be rotation guys. They will be important guys. But the fact you don't have to just immediately say, oh, both those guys are on the field for sure, that tells you they have actual quality depth, and that is not a luxury they have at every position, but they certainly do on the D-line. So, yeah, I expect them to be able to get after the passer pretty well. The tackles should be solid. We're still all waiting to see if Zach Pickens has another gear. He's been fine. When you're five-star, you're supposed to be more than fine, so we're waiting to see if maybe this is the year that next step happens with him. So there's more meat on the bone on the defensive line, and there's pretty good depth to go with it. And that's something, if you're a fan, you got to like when you compare how thin you are some other spots.
All right, last thing, circle all the way around to what I opened with. There is no path to six that doesn't include a 2-0 start. And then, I mean, it's got to be Tennessee later, and you have to win that game, I think. Am I making too much of that, you know, quote, path to six? I think it is extremely narrow with almost no room for error.
It's pretty tight. I don't know that I would agree that it has to be a 2-0 start. You have to win this one, of course, against EIU, and you would have to win Troy for sure. It's not out of the question to me. I mean, they would have to draw the perfect hand to do it, but you could only win two non-conference and still have four toss-ups that you could win in the SEC. But, yeah, your best path, without question, is this week – at ECU next week, Troy later on in the schedule at home, win those three, win Vandy, who you've beaten every year since the OOs, and then find two out of some combo of, you know, Kentucky at home, Tennessee on the road, Missouri on the road, an Auburn team you did beat last year, and who knows where their head is by November. Yeah. Find two out of those, and you get to six, and that's a great first year if they do it. There's no pressure, Chuck. I mean, no one is like, oh, this team has to be a bowl team. But you're right. It would mean a lot for them to get to six this year in year one.
All right, you take vacation days to travel just to, like, literally just spin the wheel at land someplace. You and your wife will go spend 4 days in, like, Minneapolis or somewhere. Are you going to go to the South Carolina ECU game, and have you ever been to Dowdy Ficklin? Because I'm going to tell you, that is a fun environment for a football game.
I'm considering it. It just I do the pregame, so 7 to 9 a.m. I got to be on the air. So then it's a question of just, is there somewhere to do it over there? What's the weather look like? But if it's a sunny day, if it's a nice day, yeah, I might make my way over there. I've heard that they can have some fun with their football over there at ECU.
Yeah, and it's like almost a mini same thing, Williams-Brice with the lights up top. It's just it's a really cool environment, which surprised me because I'd always heard that about it. And then I started, you know, I did a few games over there and always had a good time. So, all right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
Anytime, Chuck. See you, man.
All right, Heath Klein again from 107.5 The Game. That if you're going to get to six, yeah, Eastern Illinois, ECU. Then you've got at Georgia, which that's just as well. You don't want to use a home game on something you're going to lose anyway. Home versus Kentucky. See, that's what – who was it? Connor O'Gara? I think it was Connor that I was asking about UF, and he was like, well, UF, UF, UF. And by the way, I don't even think they're going to finish second. He's like, I think Kentucky's going to – I think it was Connor who said that. So if you don't start 2-0, you start injecting things like, all right, beat Kentucky, who I think Kentucky's about an 8-win team, maybe 9. And then it is – all right, beat Tennessee, which Tennessee, I've already – saddle up, Vols fans. The worst defense in the conference. And to counteract that, you have a coach who says, all right, well, we got a new quarterback and a new offense, so let's go real fast. Let's run a bunch of plays. But it's at Tennessee. So that's – I mean, you start getting into these scenarios, and poor Clark Lee – everybody on the Vanderbilt schedule, when you start talking about their path, all right, well, we're going to beat Vanderbilt. But at that point, I mean, find the wins. A&M, Florida, Missouri, Auburn, Clemson. I don't know. Home against Auburn is probably the best bet on August 30th versus, I don't know, in Como? I don't want that. The Gators at College Station, Clemson? Boo! Second half of the schedule for South Carolina. You'd best get your 6 wins squared away before the middle of October when you play Vandy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up hour one next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Monday, and got some news coming out of, out of New Orleans. And it's really unfortunate, but unfortunate is entry level compared to what's going on with, I don't know, a few million people in the Gulf Coast, Texas, Louisiana, now in the Mississippi region. So, I'm going to say, really unfortunate. And it is. In a sports realm, really unfortunate, and I mean that sincerely, for the Tulane Athletic Department and a lot of season ticket holders. I want to say it was maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago they opened that shiny new crib, Yulman Stadium there at Tulane, and George Tech went in there, and remember they cut the ribbon, played the game, and it's a perfect stadium for that program. Whatever the Bright House Network Stadium is now, Bounce House, I believe they call it, in Orlando. It's the perfect stadium for that UCF program. there were all manner of temptations for Tulane when the Green Wave signed a contract to play a game with Oklahoma. In that contract, there was a game that was going to take place as a Tulane home game. Yulman Stadium, they think they sit like 33,000. Could have moved it down the street to the Superdome. Would have been huge, big moneymaker. Could have sold it back to Oklahoma, because that happens sometimes. Southern Miss did that when they had Nebraska coming into Hattiesburg. They moved that game either back to Lincoln, or maybe they did sell that one. But when Southern Miss fired Ellis Johnson, as I'm recalling, Dan, research this, please, quickly. I think Southern Miss, quote, sold the location of the Nebraska game to raise the buyout for Ellis Johnson. So that happens all the time. Source earlier today, Hurricane Ida has forced Tulane to move its opener this weekend against Oklahoma from Yulman Stadium on campus to Norman, Oklahoma. Now, we're going to get back into the real-life discussion. That's what you got to do. It's a football game, for gosh sakes. And last thing around New Orleans right now, you need to be doing is devoting, because you have to have, I don't know, game day traffic control. You have to have security. You have to have, you know, water, things like that. Last thing you need right now is to be providing for a full. I don't even know. Do the Saints open at home?
They're supposed to, but at least from reports I saw, Sean Payton, which, by the way, the team is practicing at Jerry's Palace Arlington, AT&T Stadium. But he's not sure that they're going to be able to play that first game. And by the way, it was in 2012. They did sell it back to Nebraska to pay Ellis Johnson.
There you go. So I think Ellis was owed like 2.1. And Southern Miss is like, yeah, and got it. Sorry, and got it. And so you go from what would be, you know what that would be? I talked about this sometimes. That would have been the game that, decades later, I've talked to people who cover UCF, and I mentioned that, you know, I did Conference USA back in the day, and like, oh, the Texas game. I'm like, oh, yeah, the Texas game. Memphis was that way. Do you remember it was a Sunday of Labor? It was the opening weekend, Labor Day weekend, and it was a Sunday afternoon game. Ole Miss went up to the Liberty Bowl, and they lost to Memphis. Now, Memphis hosts a lot of people because Memphis is kind of a cool destination. Plus, they'll go play two for one, or they would back in the day. And so it was, you know, it was a good trip that a lot of teams made. Most of them won. Am I remembering correctly? Peyton Manning's only non-conference loss in 4 years was Memphis. So it's a mark on that, like, that program's history. Oh, do you remember when Nebraska came? Now, they played Nebraska. They did it in Lincoln. Well, then they went and did it again. So part of it was Southern Miss, when they were first established and who they were, it was, and I've told you, this painted on the side of the stadium, on the visitor side down near the goal line. It's anybody, anywhere, anytime. And they lived up to it because they were non-conference. They could sign whatever contract they wanted. But almost never did the opponent, the real opponent, the big-time opponent, come to Hattiesburg. And Nebraska was supposed to. That's what this was going to be. Now, totally different thing, because Tulane, they've got the Breaking Bad storage facility with the $80 million. I promise you they do. And I talked to a buddy of mine, actually a guy he's the voice of the Green Wave for about 20 years, and he told me that there were so many calls, opportunities to move this game and make money, and they're like, no, we're going to do it for the fans. We're going to keep this thing on campus. We're going to do this for the fans, and it's going to be moved to Norman. Now, again, it is the decision you make. It's the right decision. In the football sense, it's something that Tulane had planned for years, and now it's going to be just another non-conference home opener for the Sooners.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.